it's Janet Robert from AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Welcome to the show today. Today, I'm your guest host, and I'm going to have on two very interesting guests. I hope you'll enjoy the show. Right before the close of the show, I will be bringing on Secretary of State Steve Simon to talk to us about the Supreme Court decision that was issued today in regarding voting rights and interpreting the National Voting Registration Act, as well as the Help America Vote Act in Ohio. Before then, I've invited former, I don't know how many, he has so many wonderful titles, but former Chief of Staff to U.S. Congressman Martin Szabo, Mike Erlandson, who also served as our Democratic Party Chair from 1999 to 2005, and himself had been a candidate in the 5th Congressional District seat when Keith Ellison ran. And I've invited Mike Erlandson on today to talk to us a little bit about a wide range of issues involving the elections coming up, the endorsement process, what can happen in the 5th Congressional District race, what the implications are for other races, and his knowledge is just phenomenal. So I'm a big believer that youth is important because they're our future, but also those of us who have been around in the party a while have something to tell and something to teach people about what we've been through and why things are the way they are and ways that we think things can be better. So I've invited Mike Erlandson on today. Mike, welcome to AM 950.
Well, Janet, thank you for having me on. It's good to be back on AM 950, and a good big hello to all of your listeners here in Minnesota and other places if they're tuned in online. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I did neglect to mention one of what I consider your most important credentials, which isn't mentioned, for example, in your Wikipedia page, that you did serve as an AM 950 talk show host for a while, which was very fun.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed every minute of it, that's for sure. So
from 1993 till 2007, you worked for Congressman Martin Szabo as his chief of staff. And again, like I said, in 1999 to 2005, you were our party chair, which was great. So just to bring a little history to bear, too, Congressman Ellison ran in 2006. It was a primary, and we had quite a few people running that year. So I just wanted to sort of refresh our memories on that one. I'm trying to remember, Mike, you ran in that race. Tammy Lee ran as an independent. We had Rebecca Yanish running. No, wait. Correct? No,
well,
I'm thinking of a different race. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, when we started the, not we, but I should say we, there was 17 initial candidates for Congress in the 5th Congressional District when Congressman Szabo made the decision to retire. So it was definitely a hotly contested Democratic primary. In the end, there was about four on the Democratic primary ballot left, maybe five. That included Congressman Ellison, who went on to win the race, of course, and State Representative Ellison, who became our congressman. Myself, Ember Reichkeit-Young, a former state senator in Minnesota, Paul Ostro, a former member of the Minneapolis City Council. Of course, all of us remain active in some capacity in politics. You know, this was not a race where myself or anybody else was running against Congressman Congressman Ellison. You know, everybody was running for the opportunity to serve in the 5th Congressional District. Congressman Ellison came out on top. He's represented the district well for the past 12 years and, of course, made the decision less than a week ago, it seems, to run for Secretary of State in Minnesota. And now we have a new group of Democrats interested in being the next member of Congress from the 5th Congressional District. You know, the district, because it is so heavily Democratic, will really pick the next member of Congress. I'd say 90, I guess as Dr. Seuss used to say, 98.75% guaranteed it will be picked in the Democratic primary, which will take place in August. And certainly, you know, at the moment, you've got state senator, state representative, and then former speaker as the probably the three leading candidates in the 5th Congressional District race. So it'll be hotly contested, that's for sure.
I'm trying to remember, I remember we had a debate AM950 sponsored a debate in that primary when you ran. Was there an endorsement then? I just can't seem to remember.
Yeah, no, Congressman Ellison won the support of the DFL party at an endorsing convention. I can't remember how many ballots that went to. Actually, I was there, but did not seek the endorsement ultimately after the convention started. That wasn't a negative thing. It's just how it worked out. The endorsing convention, very different than today, where the party is talking about, the filings have opened and closed for the 5th district. They really opened and closed on the last day of filing because nobody expected that Congressman Ellison would make the decision to run for Secretary of State. Just like I think Congressman Ellison didn't think that Attorney General, yes. Attorney General, just like people didn't think the current Attorney General, Lori Swanson, would run for governor. And, that's true, I think, on the Republican side as well as the Democratic side. I think you might have a different group of Republican candidates had she announced earlier. But certainly the 5th district that all happened on one day. A number of people filed, some people even filed and dropped out, and then just today the legislator that had filed made the decision not to run, even though he won't be able to remove his name from the ballot. So the dynamics of that race continue to change. And of course, the DFL just announced the day before yesterday that they're going to hold an endorsing convention on Father's Day, which is sort of interesting and a little bit disappointing, I must say, as a father and a delegate, the ability for people to A, file for office, or B, withdraw should they seek to honor the endorsement in the 5th district if there is an endorsement for Congress. So, it just gets more interesting by the day.
Well, so, I mean, it's just kind of amazing. You have those filings. It felt like that was just a week ago. We had the filings, and one day they're open and one day they're closed practically. And then now we have some amazingly talented, very experienced candidates. From former Speaker Margaret Kelleher, who was a gubernatorial candidate back when Mark Dayton decided to challenge the endorsed candidate and go on to the primary and win. And then we had Senator Patricia Torres-Ray, who's done a really nice job representing areas of Minneapolis, as well as Senator Bobby Joe Champion. And now he's dropped out today, I heard. He can't drop out, but he suspended his campaign, which is really, really interesting because one would imagine he would have carried the north side and done really well there. He was a person of color. And there's another person of color, our brand new celebrity representative, Ilhan Omar, who's become quite a celebrity because she's the first Muslim woman elected. And that's kind of pretty much the heavy hitter lineup, right? Kelleher, Torres-Ray, Omar, and Champion, right?
Yeah, I believe so. And of course, with Champion now suspending his campaign, he'll still be on the ballot because he can't get his name off. Mm-hmm. Expect that while he may get a few votes from having his name on the ballot, certainly not have a major impact in that race because he won't be running an active campaign.
I just can't imagine the pressure he was on to drop out of the race because now you don't have two people of color in the race. You now just have one. He must have been under – if anybody knows the senator – he wants to call in or they want to call in, we'd love to hear from them. 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. But let's talk about those endorsing conventions. I mean, I'd like to do a little historical analysis. I mean, for example, what is the purpose of an endorsing convention? Now, I always thought the purpose was you got to have the Democratic candidate a lot of time to gear up, get ready to take on a Republican challenger. And so the party had to all coalesce behind one person. But frequently you have some. But this isn't the case here, not in the 5th Congressional District. Whoever wins the primary is the winner. So that's not a reason that we don't really need an endorsement convention, do we?
Well, I think you can make a pretty strong argument that in highly Democratic areas, The endorsing convention is not needed in the same way that it might otherwise be. It sometimes create confusion. You know, in this particular case, you know, I would say they'd be lucky if 300 delegates show up on Father's Day to potentially endorse a candidate versus the 100,000 that might show up on primary day to help choose the next member of Congress from the 5th congressional district. When I was the chair of the Democratic Party, and some people got mad at me for this, you know, I really wanted to focus our very limited resources on Democrats beating Republicans, and that.
Well, you know what, Mike, I want to talk a lot about what you did, because I think you did some very innovative stuff that a lot of us would like to see come back. So I want to talk about that when we come back after this break. And I really want our listeners to feel free to chime in at 952-946-2005. But yeah, we're going to talk about other endorsement races too, and what has happened historically and the impact the endorsement has. So this is Janet Robert with Mike Erlandson on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
People, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis, and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hey, Minnesota, this is David Pakman, and you can catch my show weeknights at 9 for an in-depth look at politics and current events on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Lowry Hill Meats, your neighborhood full-service butcher shop that works directly with family farms. Using whole animals gives Lowry Hill Meats the benefit of preparing custom cuts and dry aging. They offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry, including whole duck, roasting hens, turkey, quail, pheasant, and Cornish hens. Their sausages are made fresh in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Try their handcrafted sandwiches. They are second to none. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis, or online at lowryhillmeats.com.
Are you trying to live stream on Facebook, on YouTube? Tired of no one watching your videos? Well, whether you're a beginner or a veteran, you can have better results. Hi, it's Mike McEntee with The Uptake. We're famous for our live streaming of thousands of events that are watched by millions. I want to help you live stream video like a pro for your cause, your group, or your company. I'm teaching a class on June 9th where you'll learn how to use your phone or a professional camera to deliver the best live experience for your audience. I'll teach you how to attract an audience and how to keep reaching that audience when you're no longer live. Find out what platform works best for what you're trying to do. Sign up now at theuptake.org/classes. Space is limited. Go to theuptake.org/classes to sign up for this June 9th class. There's a $70 charge, but there's a discount for students and low-income people. That's theuptake.org/classes to learn how to live stream like a pro.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own 4 or 6 packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis, or online at ambibulousmn.com.
Born in the USA. Welcome back to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. This is Janet Robert, your host today, and I'm here with Mike Erlandson, former Chief of Staff to Congressman Szabo, former chair of the Democratic Party for 6 years, and former candidate in the race with Congressman Ellison back in the primary in 2006, a time probably before many of you were born. But Mike, thanks for sticking with us. We wanted to talk more about the DFL endorsement. I mean, some of the questions out there are, you know, since this is virtually a lifetime seat, you know, is this endorsement process even going to be fair? Does it serve the residents of the congressional district? And is no endorsement an option? But tell us a little bit about your what you were going to talk about before, about what you were doing before when you were party chair.
Well, you know, we did a couple of reforms, I think, to the process. The one was that we tried to make the conventions a little more family friendly. One of the things that I thought was exciting was the party held precinct caucuses, a state legislative endorsing conventions, and the congressional district conventions all on one Saturday, so that people could show up in the morning, go to precinct caucuses, an hour and a half later, go to their Senate and House endorsing conventions, and in the afternoon, go to the congressional convention. And actually, that worked pretty well. We had a successful day. We had about the same number of total turnout in the process. But unfortunately, we only did that one cycle because the state central committee decided that that was too difficult and restrictive to move precinct caucuses from Tuesday night to Saturday night, et cetera. And so, unfortunately, I was a little disappointed that process was changed back to, I guess, the process the way it's been for a number of years, or maybe forever. I'm not sure. I don't go back to 1948 myself. I do think that sometimes the parties need to focus, both Democrats, Republicans, and even the independents, on bringing as many people into the party as possible. And the conventions and the endorsing process have over the years become, I think, less than welcoming at times. Now, people will argue that if you don't want to participate, you don't have to. That's true. I would argue that delegates have a responsibility to represent not just themselves and not just the issues that they're passionate about or the candidate that might have motivated them to attend caucuses or become a delegate to the Senate district or the state convention, but rather think about the neighborhood that they came from, just as an elected official might. If they're going to cast a ballot to choose a candidate, and we're talking really about the fifth district, choosing a candidate that will go there and maybe spend, you know, 12 years as Congressman Ellison has, or 28 years as Congressman Szabo did, or a similar number as Congressman Frazier before Mr. Szabo. So it is a very important thing. And now, because the fact that the candidates were limited to making their decisions on one day because of how events unfolded in 2018, I think this is really a time where the party should say, you know what, an endorsement doesn't make sense.
I do think, you know, you raise a really good point. I do know I've been at convention after convention, and there is an age group that's missing. The real age group that's missing, I'd say there's two groups. One, parents. You know, between that age of, like, say, 27, 25 to about 50, people are having a family, and they cannot commit to a Tuesday night and an all-day Saturday and another all-day Saturday. And there's a second group. I mean, I've heard this from a lot of parents, and I remember being in that time. I was like, okay, I could do the precinct caucus thing. Maybe that's about it when my kid was old enough. But there's retail business owners. There are so many business owners in the Democratic Party, and we know a lot of them because they advertise on AM 950, but they can't come. I remember trying to talk a business owner and coming to sign up to be a delegate for an endorsing state, just the Senate District Endorsing Convention. And the business owner said, are you crazy? I cannot be in on a Saturday. And, of course, there's a misconception among some Democrats that business owners don't work. But us locally independent business owners work 24/7. We always have. And this is a huge time commitment. So I would love to go back and take a look at that reform. But parents, too, how are they going to get a babysitter on a school night? How can they get a babysitter all day Saturday? So I think we're really disenfranchising those two groups of people. But so, the other question is, does it really serve our residents? I think you make a good point there. You say, well, you know, people say, well, they should show up. Well, first of all, some people absolutely can't show up. But secondly, You know, we don't have any time to learn about these candidates. I've been to enough conventions to hear a lot of falsehoods made about candidates. We need time for them to get known. And, you know, R.T. Ryback came out on Facebook, and he said he doesn't like this convention idea at all because, you know, he said, you know, he talked about his – he and I chatted about his first mayor's race, you know, and he went into the endorsing convention, said, I'm not going to abide by the endorsement, comes out, you know, without the endorsement, and he takes on incumbent. And he turns out the Star Tribune said he was known by 12% of the population. Now, how did he go on and win 65% of the population? Because he door knocked. He went to stores and stood outside, went to parks, went to meetings. He said how he really benefited was not only going from a 12% name recognition to a 65% win, but he really learned what people cared about. He met a broad cross-section of his community and got to know what was important to them. And this is one of the things I think we're going to miss in this endorsing convention. These candidates are not being made to go out and work their district. Each one has a, you know, Ilhan represented now for 2 years as part of the small part of Minneapolis. You know, Senator Torres Reyes has represented one area. Kelleher now, she was a former speaker for quite a few years. But So let me ask you the question. I mean, you've mentioned the problem of disenfranchisement of parents. It happens in school board elections, too, when they do these endorsements. But can you do a no endorsement? And tell me about that, and what are the rules for that?
Well, you certainly can do a no endorsement. And, you know, one of the other reforms that we did when I was party chair that still exists today is that after five ballots, if there are that many ballots in a convention, the and a no endorsement vote is placed in order by the rules automatically. But any, you know, conventions set their own rules. There's a few rules they can't change. You know, it does require 60% to become the endorsed candidate of the delegates. So in this case, it's 60% of about 300 individuals. There are plenty of party leaders that don't believe there will be an endorsement in the 5th Congressional District. And for a variety of reasons, one, because they don't think it's fair to the process because it's so short, others because the people can't get their name off the ballot, others because they believe it should go to the larger population in a Democratic seat that we know the DFL will win no matter the outcome of the convention. But as I always say, you know, delegates like to pick candidates. And so they may or may not get pragmatic on Father's Day. And it's also would require, you know, if two or of the candidates, maybe three go to the convention and say, please don't endorse, let the voters decide. You know, who knows? Although at the state convention this year, Tim Walz.
Well, look at it now. You know, we had Bobby Joe in the race. Now, of course, now that he's out, you're down to three candidates. We know Ilhan Omar has to have an endorsement. I think that's pretty critical for her because she has no name ID. So I'm sure she's quite happy to see Bobby Joe leave the race. You only have three people now. But again, they together, most of them could block the endorsement, I imagine. But, you know, what about no endorsement? I mean, could you – the first thing I know they always do is pass the rules. Oops, we're almost out of time. Well, let's talk about that when we get. Boy, time's going quick. What, you know, can we do a no endorsement from the get-go? That would be really interesting to hear. So this is Janet Robert with AM 950 talking to Mike Erlinson. Join us when we come back from this break.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having their annual service special. Every stove, insert, and fireplace needs maintenance. Get it done now and save $40. You'll be ready to fire up before the cold weather hits again. From 94, take the Riverside Avenue exit and go to 2901 East Franklin Avenue. See the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of clean-burning, reliable, and environmentally smart stoves and fireplaces.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, owner of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Have you ever watched your dog or cat curl up in front of a fire like a Norman Rockwell painting brought to life? It's primordial the way fire touches both the animal and the human. We have the equipment and the know-how to supply, install, and maintain stoves and fireplaces. Call us at 612-338-6606 and take advantage of our spring cleaning and maintenance special. We are online at woodlandstoves.com. The mission and the passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Steve, what are we going to talk about this week?
This week, we cover Wells Fargo's retail pullback and interview Joe Waddell from Advanced Credit Solutions, talking about repairing and maintaining your credit.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
AM 950 listeners, we have a home cleaning company with an offer just for you. They're Blue Sky Services. Blue Sky Services will wash your windows, siding, gutters, clean those black streaks off your roof, and more. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. If you hear this, you have an exclusive house cleaning offer for June only. Call 651-447-4484. That's Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Anna Schultz-Carlson. Look for cloudy skies tonight with a low around 61. Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 79. And Wednesday, sunny with a high around 80. Break away from the ordinary and find a list of one-of-a-kind local restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com. Great spots for date nights, evenings with friends, or business occasions. Offer some of the best cuisine the Twin Cities has to offer. Find the list at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Welcome back to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This is your host today, Janet Robert. I'm talking with Mike Erlandson about endorsing conventions, specifically the one coming up where Mike is a delegate, CD5, where we have Margaret Anderson Kelleher, Senator Patricia Torres-Reyes, Representative Ilhan Omar, and unfortunately no longer Senator Bobby Joe Champion, who's discontinued his campaign. So, Welcome Mike Erlandson, the former chief of staff to Martin Szabo, former party chair, who's enlightening us a little bit on the process. And we were just talking about the endorsements and about, I was just wondering, you said that, you know, on the fifth ballot, they basically encourage no endorsement. People got to go home, they have lives. But can you do it from the get-go? Do you have to amend the rules? Can you have a motion for no endorsement at the beginning of the convention?
They certainly could have a motion for no endorsement at the beginning of the convention. Not clear how that would fly with the delegates. And any delegate could vote no endorsement from the very first ballot all the way through. You know, my gut is that in order for that to happen, you would probably need all three candidates to come to that convention believing they couldn't win and deciding that therefore, they would be willing to join hands and say, we respect the DFL party, but we also respect the fact that there will be a primary election that we'll all participate in. You know, we ask you not to endorse today. I think, you know, I have a hard time believing that the three candidates will reach that consensus in advance of Father's Day, the day of their convention, and come to the more likely, potentially, if after the first ballot, it's, you know, nobody has north of 40% of the delegates with 60% needed for an endorsement, that maybe at that time, people say, okay, it's pretty clear that there isn't even a consensus amongst the 300 of us delegates. let's adjourn the convention and move on to the primary. And, you know, I think to the degree that there's delegates out there listening, you know, I would encourage, you know, maybe by the time the 17th rolls around, there will be one clear front runner candidate that's made the case to the larger community, made the case to the delegates, and they're going to win that 60%. But if that's not the case, and this thing is locked up at 33% each or something closer to that, you know, then, you know, take, you know, I would say take that what would be really the higher road. Don't grind out an endorsement for endorsement's sake, but rather say, you know, endorse them all as you can't endorse them all per se, but you could say, you know, these are three or four candidates that all deserve the opportunity to serve in Congress. They all deserve the opportunity to make the case to the larger 5th congressional district primary voters, and the DFL party will support whoever wins that. And then take the time and the energy of the party to focus on making sure that the next governor is from is a Democrat, that the next attorney general continues to be a Democrat, then, you know, that you know, Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith are reelected to the United States Senate, those sorts of things. And the 5th district will be very important in the general election to the statewide offices, but it will be less important to the candidate for Congress in the 5th district, because that one will be won on primary day.
Well, of course, yeah, 70,000 potential voters, I imagine, because that's how many voted in that primary on the Democratic side back in 2006, the last time Congressman Ellison, the first time Congressman Ellison was elected. So there's 70,000 people. Man, think of all the people who are being asked to give up Father's Day to be a part of the process. So, you know, I hope the delegates are thinking about that. I hope they're thinking also about the fact that so many people chose not to be a delegate, partly because they were not that focused on the governor's race. And, you know, one of the concerns I know people have said is, well, you know, these are the activists, these are the volunteers. Well, let's be perfectly honest. You know, I've been an activist, I've been a volunteer, I've lift dropped, I've door knocked. Getting to be a delegate isn't that easy, no matter how active you are. And there's, you just can't always get it done, because a lot of special interest groups show up. You know, my congressional district convention was all about endorsing. Some people literally, they only wanted to endorse in the congressional race. And then they were horse trading. They were saying, okay, look, you support me for delegate because I want to be involved in the congressional race, but I'll endorse you because you care about the governor's race. I mean, it's a kind of a goofy situation when you go in thinking the only people who bother to show up are maybe people in the 5th Congressional District who are really excited about a couple Senate races, which actually would raise an interesting question of which are those Senate races where people are going to be showing up because they became delegates. But actually, they only need to be delegates for a Senate district, which didn't allow them to necessarily go on to congressional or governor. So there we basically had it. It was the governor's race was the race where most people were vying to be delegates. So that would clearly be one of the big issues that motivated people to show up, right, in the 5th Congressional District?
Yeah, there's no question about it. With at the time people went to caucuses, you know, first of all, I think the people that participate in the democratic process are critical to the party. And I salute everybody that took the time to go to caucuses and took the time to become a delegate. And, you know, I think that remains an important process in democracy. But I also think there's always the challenge for delegates to remind themselves of the real battles and focus their time and attention on the big picture and the issues. And, you know, we know we're going to have a good member of Congress in the 5th district. And that's why, my gut is delegates should take a pass on an endorsement on Father's Day. Do I think they'll do that? I'd say 50-50 at best. But you know, you're exactly right, Janet. The people that were organizing people to participate in caucuses from a campaign perspective, which probably represent more than 50% of the delegates, were those individuals running for governor this year, and you know, and primarily, and you know, Aaron Murphy, who's the endorsed candidate for governor, and Tim Walz, the congressman from the 1st congressional district, who was organizing early before caucuses, but he was he told the delegates he wanted their support, he wanted the support of the party, he believed he was the strongest candidate. But he also told them he was going to run in the primary, even if they didn't choose him. Interestingly enough, He led at the state convention after the first ballot, but not by enough interest to prevent the third place candidate, State Auditor Rebecca Otto's people, from ultimately moving to state legislator Aaron Murphy's campaign. And, you know, after, I think, five ballots, delivering an endorsement at the convention.
Well, so, I think that
always
was
interesting.
I think, you know, that whole strategy of Walz to say, I'm not going to go for the endorsement. And this I consider a huge problem within our party. I totally understand the desire to endorse, but I've been to enough conventions to see that demand that the party, the person running, say, I'm going to abide by the endorsement, almost inevitably leads to them not getting endorsed. And I thought it was a bad strategy on Walz's part to even to say it. But on the other hand, is it fair? I mean, I remember the first time I worked at state convention, I was working for, there was a Senate race, Dayton, it was Dayton, Janicek, Cerisi, and Janosch, I remember that. And I'm working the floor for Cerisi, and he's saying, I'm not going to abide by the endorsement. And everywhere I turn, people, I'd say, look, you know he's the most qualified candidate. And they'd say, well, we'll make him say he's going to abide. Well, you know, so they threw it to Jerry Janicek. Everybody remember Jerry Janicek? Yeah, probably not, because he was not the most qualified guy in the room. So Cerisi goes on, and, I mean, Janicek got 20% of the vote. Cerisi got 22, and Mark Dayton went on to get 41%. But, you know, because he just went straight to the primary, I believe. Is that right? You may remember that better than me.
Yep, no, that's right. Interestingly enough, the last time the Democratic Party picked a non-incumbent governor correctly, endorsed that person, and they won, was Wendy Anderson in 1970. Mm. So you have to go back 48 years to find the time the party picked the eventual winner. Now, that may not, you know, Aaron Murphy may correct that or may fix that losing streak by DFL delegates. And it's not so much that the delegates lost, it's just that the primary voters chose somebody different. And
well, I do remember I have been on a no endorsement side myself at another time. I mean, in our Senate race one time, well, House race, you know, we had three really good candidates. You know, I barely knew them, and they were all saying, I could raise the most money, I could work the hardest, I'm going to be your best legislator. And I'm like, I came to this convention, I know them each a tiny bit. I would rather go to a primary, you know. And so we did. We sent it to a primary, and the person who raised the most money, who door knocked the most, and I think who had the most, you know, probably the best positions on issues that fit our district the best, won. So, you know, I think it works out really well. I think it also gets the name idea out there. I think that now in that situation, there was no endorsement, and yet it helped us win, I think, the general, because, you know, they had lawn signs up, they had people talking about the races, you know, there was a real race going on, and people paid attention. And I think it helped our Democratic candidate in the long run. So, you know, I just think this idea that we always have to endorse is something that I just can't get that excited about. You know, when the other thing Ryback had said to me reminded me of one time when I ran for office. You know, Ryback said, I became a good candidate because I learned what people in Minneapolis wanted. And I think the problem with not having to work hard and door knock and go to these places is you don't really learn. When I ran for city council, I door knocked every door in town. And I went back to every door where they weren't home the first time. I went back a second time. And when I got in office, I felt really confident. I understood my community, what they liked, what they didn't like. And 2 years later, we had another election, but it was not contested. And these two new guys took office, and we were debating an issue, and they said, we should commission a poll. And I'm like, what do we need a poll for? And they're like, well, so we can really understand what people wanted. And I said, well, didn't you learn door knocking? This was the hottest issue in the race. Didn't you learn? And they're like, well, we didn't door knock. Why not? Because they had no competition. So I really believe what Ryback says about the importance of making people get out and work to win that primary, because when they get to understand their community, they end up being better candidates.
Well, I totally agree. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the 5th District as it relates to the three, you know, I guess the three kind of frontish running candidates right now for the primary election and for the endorsement. And how they choose to speak to the delegates, to your point about will they all say they'll abide by the endorsement, even if their name will be on the ballot? In other words, suspend. But really, will they suspend their campaign if they don't earn the endorsement? Will they make pleas to the delegates about not having endorsements so that they can all continue on? And again, I think if they all got in solidarity in advance and said, that's what we should do, that would be great. But the fact that the DFL party chose to have an endorsing convention when it didn't have to means that somebody, maybe all of them, but at least one of them believes that they will win that endorsement.
Yeah.
And they were successful in convincing party leaders to hold that convention.
Yeah, and you raise a good point. And before I wrap up, obviously I had actually asked the CD5 chair, you know, if all the candidates supported an endorsing convention, and he wouldn't tell me. And so what that tells me is, no, they did not. This was a decision made by the party chair in consultation with his other, quote, leaders in the party apparatus. And but it did not have the full support of all the candidates. And to me, that's probably not going to work out for the best. But anyway, gee, Mike, it's been great having you on. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on AM 950.
Tom Hartman here for All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that you save more if you wait, but waiting to switch can actually cost you more. While tax rebates make solar affordable, those rebates are often limited and decrease over time. So when you wait, you risk losing some of the incentives that make solar so easy to afford today. And besides, the sooner you get your All Energy Solar system, the sooner you reduce or even eliminate that high electricity bill. Make the switch today at allenergysolar.com.
As with their Eat Street sister on Nicollet Avenue, the Bad Waitress at 700 Central and Northeast is committed to working with local purveyors and serving organic food whenever possible. But the Northeast location is a bit more grown up. This finer diner has a full bar serving craft cocktails and a brand new inventive dinner menu, including the chicken and waffle, with roasted half chicken, bourbon pickled jalapeno corn waffle, and a roasted poblano gravy. Check out the Northeast menu at thebadwaitress.com.
Trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour? Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Hello, Richard from Auto Technical. Imagine life without a car. Just getting to daycare, then to work on the bus. You have a car or truck to donate? We have families waiting for a reconditioned vehicle from Auto Technical. Your gift will change their lives. Remember, we recondition the vehicle so you'll receive a much higher tax deduction. 612-919-5526. AutoTechnical.org.
See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Welcome back to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Janet Robert, your guest host today, and I have brought on our Secretary of State, Steve Simon, to talk to us about voting laws in Minnesota. We're going to leave the endorsement convention behind and get straight on to primary and general elections. But today, of course, some of you may have heard that the U.S. Supreme Court issued a decision that came out of Ohio where there was a challenge to the removal of voters from the voting rolls. And just to give you a little quick background, there was a federal law passed called the National Voter Registration Act and does allow people to be removed from a voting rolls if they have failed to vote for a period of time in an election. But if they've either won, submitted to the Secretary of State a change of residence form, or B2, they fail to return a card that's postage prepaid, you know, asking them if they are still living at an address. And so many people were removed in Ohio because they failed to return the postage prepaid postage card. And so the Supreme Court held in that case that the voters who did fail to return the card, even though they hadn't moved, and yet, under Ohio law, they had not voted for 2 years. They said, well, that was a good way to make a decision whether or not a person should be sent a card, that perhaps they voted in 2 years, then maybe they actually have not but that they've actually moved, and so they get the card. So the Supreme Court upheld the right of Ohio to do that. So I wanted to welcome on Secretary of State Steve Simon. Thank you for joining us today, Steve.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So you have any thoughts on the Supreme Court decision?
Yeah, I mean, it's really unfortunate for the people of Ohio and other states who engage in this practice. The good news, before I get to that, is that this really isn't going to affect us here in Minnesota. And the reason for that is that we have same day or election day voter registration and have had for over four decades, which means if someone is removed intentionally, accidentally, for any reason, and they're an eligible voter, no one here is shut out. No one will be prevented from voting. Why? Because up to and including election day, you can just get yourself back on the list. And that happens from time to time. So that's really our fail-safe in Minnesota that prevents us from being like in Ohio. Now, as I understand the situation in Ohio, you might have voters there that, without their knowledge, are taken off or purged from the voter list. Maybe they didn't get that postcard. Maybe it got, you know, stuck in the pizza coupons. Who knows why they didn't respond to the card. And then they show up at the polling place to say, I'm here to vote. And an election judge, I assume, says, you're not on the list. And I don't know what the remedy is in a state like Ohio without Minnesota's same-day voter registration. We don't have that worry in Minnesota. So we're good to go. I just feel badly for the people in the states where they are doing this kind of aggressive purging. That's not what we do here in Minnesota. No eligible Minnesota voter is going to be shut out, period.
And I think, you know, this is a really good decision to highlight the benefits of a state like Minnesota that we live in, but also to highlight the fact that voting laws are really governed by state law. And the good news is the federal government cannot mandate that we send these postcards after 2 years. As a matter of fact, in Minnesota, you wait 4 years, whereas Ohio was
right.
two. And after 4 years, do you send the card then? Or do you just put them on the
card? In Minnesota, all that happens is, I mean, it's sort of less there than meets the eye. In Minnesota, we don't purge, we don't eliminate, we don't erase. What happens is if after 4 years somebody doesn't vote, their status is simply changed to inactive. But it doesn't have that much of a meaning in the sense that if someone was mistakenly or even accurately placed on that list, it's no problem. You can just make the change right there and say, I want to be back on the list. And by the way, for your listeners, if anyone out there just doesn't know what their status is, boy, am I on the list? Am I not? You can go to our website. It's mnvotes.org. That's mnvotes.org. And you can check that status right there. And by the way, if you want to change your status, you can do that too online.
Well, I know you worked really hard to upgrade the website. I know that websites are always an ongoing problem for everybody, but I think you've made some big changes. It's been one of your big pushes, hasn't it been, since you've taken office?
Yeah, definitely. We worked on redoing the website for over a year when I first came in 2015, and we unveiled it in 2016. And what I'm really proud about is we didn't just sort of, as they say, reskin it. We didn't just do cosmetic fixes and make the graphics look different and all that. We actually changed some of the functionality. And the way we did that was we actually had focus groups of actual users, because what we had been told was very often in the private sector, but maybe more in the public sector, websites are redone to reflect what the office thinks is cool or what the office thinks people ought to like or need or want, rather than focusing on what people actually do. So we actually had focus groups of real people who actually use the website to say, well, what do you want in the website? And we've made changes that reflect those wants, and it's worked out pretty well on the election side and on the business side of what we do.
Well, I have to say I do think it does, because it's much it is better. I actually go there quite a bit. I do enjoy looking at statistics, and I remember one time there was this little glitch you had, and it just drove me crazy. And I was on it today, and I realized that glitch was gone. So you guys keep making it better all the time.
Good, I'm glad.
But anyway, So the whole thing, you know, it also reminds me of this whole debate over states' rights. You know, it's kind of funny. I'm starting to think of myself more and more of a states' rights person, because I keep seeing the federal government trying to take away our rights and limit our rights. And I'm sure if they had the right, they would pass a law that says we have to do all these terrible things, like remove people from the rolls and stuff like that. Right now, when you look at who's in control. So I'm glad that I'm starting to think more about this all the time. What should we be doing as a state that's different? Is there more that we could do here in Minnesota, you think, for elections to get more people to vote?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the good news is we are number one in the country. We got back to number one in 2016. That had been my goal, our office's goal. We had been number six
as
of 2014. We got back to number one, but there are still things that we can do. For example, and this is timely in light of today's Supreme Court decision, I support automatic voter registration. There are about 9 or 10 states that have taken the lead with that. And really, in Minnesota, all that would mean is, for example, when you go to get your driver's license, for those who do drive, right now, under current law today, you can check a box that will enable you to automatically get registered to vote. This would just reverse that presumption. So now you would be registered to vote unless you checked a box. It's worked out really well in other states. We have the capacity to do it in Minnesota, and it would really be a workaround or some of the, and certainly in other states, for some of these sort of purge issues, if people were automatically registered, regardless of whether they had voted in the past 2 years or 4 years. I just, this sort of use it or lose it idea that Ohio seems to be doing has some, you know, real potential dangers to it. So that's one thing is automatic voter registration.
Oh my.
I think also.
Quick, we're out of time. Real quick.
Okay. Well,
Steve Diamond, go ahead.
Continued.
Okay, well, we should talk more later. Well, thanks so much for being on and talking to us about this. It's a great late. This is Secretary of State Steve Simon talking to us about the voter registration laws. And good to get us back in the lead. Great website and push for new laws. Thank you, Steve Simon. This is Janet Robert with AM 950.